I remember the last time that I got a spanking. Now, some of you may remember this, and some of you may not remember the last time you got a spanking, but I remember because I was still fairly old when I got the last spanking, and I remember getting it. It was in eighth grade, and I was going to a Lutheran school, and my Lutheran principal had called me into the office, and he said, I'm going to give you three choices. The choices are this. One, you can go pick up trash for an hour for what you've done. Or I can call your mom and tell her what you've done and let her deal with it. Not happening. I'm sorry, not happening. Or number three, I can give you a paddle. And I was in eighth grade. And I considered the options. I considered about picking up trash, and I thought, I don't want to give up my recess time to pick up trash for an hour. I said, I guess you could tell my mom, not happening. I guess I will have to take the paddle. And so me and my friend Paul Huebner bent over. He reached up above his desk, the principal's chair. I'm in eighth grade, mind you. And he takes this paddle with holes on it, and he gives me three solid, swift whacks on the rear end. I'm in eighth grade. It is still hurt. It hurt really bad. And I was never going to do that ever again. Now, I'm sure you're all dying to know what it was that I did, aren't you? You know what I mean? Like I killed somebody, right? No. My friend Paul Huebner and I were both acolytes, you know, the people that light the candles in the church. And in our church, when I was growing up, it was a long church, and they had eight ushers that took the offering. And each usher had an offering plate, and they would pass them. And at the end of the offering, all eight offering plates would come forward, and the acolyte would take this large plate, bring it over, and they would pick up the offering plates, and he would go back, and he would put them on the shelf. So Paul Huebner and I were in front of the altar one day, and I don't know why we were there. I don't know what occasion it was, but we were talking about how sometimes, these plates were heavy. And so we started demonstrating how heavy these plates were and taking them back to the little table where you put them. And we're balancing them and doing this. Well, my eighth grade teacher comes in, and he thought that I was doing like some sort of pagan dance in front of the altar, all right? And he was livid. He was absolutely livid. Now, I had done things far worse than that. And I had been, wasn't a perfect kid, but I mean, I had done some pretty bad things, but he was just over the top to think that I was doing something that was desecrating the holy altar of God. He was very upset. And as a result, I still have scars for when he paddled me that day. And I hadn't been paddled probably for 5 or 6 years, or maybe longer. And yet, I remember that one. Because you shouldn't desecrate the altar of God. You shouldn't desecrate the holiness of God. Now, as we look at Joshua 7 this morning, we're going to look at a man who perhaps desecrated the holiness of God. It's from Joshua 7. We're continuing our sermon series in Joshua. And if you'll remember last week, they walked around Jericho and the walls came tumbling down and they defeated Jericho. And now they're on to the next campaign, which is a town called Ai. A-I. Ai. And they send some scouts to this town. And the scouts look at it and they're like, the French armies, this is nothing. We can simply send some men and we can conquer Ai. And so Joshua... They were French back. You didn't know that? They were French. And so Joshua, instead of sending the whole army of God into Ai, he only sends a small portion, about 3,000 people. And so they go there, and they are crushed by the people of Ai. And so they hightail it out of there, but not before 35 Israelites die in the battle. Now Joshua is beside himself. He's like, why is this happening? God, you said... quote, I have the tape recording, that you would be with us every step of the way. You would make us victorious. You would make us conquering heroes. Where were you? 35 people dead. Doesn't look like you're with us that day. And God comes to Joshua and says, I did promise that I would be with you. But I only promised I would be with you if you would be my people and you would follow what I told you to do. Someone in your camp, when you conquered the walls of Jericho, when you went in there, somebody took some of the gold and silver and they violated what I have with you. And so Joshua can't believe this in his ears, and he starts bringing all the people, and then they find out that it was Achan, who indeed had taken the gold and the silver and hidden it. And the punishment seems rather severe, doesn't it? Because when they find out that it was Achan, and Achan knows this is severe, he doesn't seem to throw up a fight, they basically kill him and his whole family. And it seems like a rather large punishment for such a small crime, doesn't it? But what was Achan's crime? What was it that caused such a fierce retaliation by God and the people of Israel? Well, obviously, he broke the seventh commandment, right? He stole. He went into Jericho and he found gold and he took the gold and he hid it and he put it in the ground and he covered it up. And they moved from camp to camp and he took it with them and he covered it up. I mean, what do you do with gold? It's not like you can sell it on the commodities market or sell it on eBay or the black market. He's in the middle of a tribe of people. He can't, like, take the gold and trade it in for a gold-plated camel, right? What do you do with gold? How many of you, I mean, this ever happened to you? This actually happened to me once. I was with my cousin. We were in Disneyland. I may have told this story before. And we were going through the shops, and I came out of a shop, and we're walking down the main street of Disneyland, and my cousin says, "Here, I got this for you." And it was this beautiful leather fob with kind of a mother-of-pearl inlay Disneyland on it. It was absolutely beautiful. I said, "Thanks." And I put it in my pocket, and I said, "Well, where'd you get that?" He said, "Well, I stole it." Oh, my goodness. So then what do you do? It's my cousin. We're already away from the shop. Do I go back and give it to him? I was just torn. And I was a young kid back then, and it just ate me up. So when I got home, what do you do with this thing, right? You can't, like, sell it on the black market or anything like that. So I had this chest, and I put it in the chest, and it stayed in that chest for years and years and years and years because I was too embarrassed to even use it because it wasn't given to me properly. And I had even thought about driving to Disneyland and giving it back to them. I mean, so poor Achan, I mean, he had this piece of gold, and he thought, "Great, I'm going to use it." But he ends up being he can't use it because it's in the ground, and he has to hide it from everybody. It's absolutely no use to him whatsoever. And yet he still did it. But does the breaking the seventh commandment cause us to lose our life? No. I mean, breaking the seventh commandment is severe, but in the Mosaic law, it was not a life-threatening issue. So why did he lose it? Well, maybe it's because he broke the integrity of the bonds of the people that were all on a mission. And you know what this is like. You've got a mission at work, or you've got a mission at school or at home, and everybody's pulling their weight, and everybody's doing what's supposed to happen, and everybody's moving in the forward direction, and there's always that one person who's in it for themselves. And all they can care about is how much gold or how much silver they can get so they can make it on their own, right? And they don't seem to be about teamwork at all. They seem to be about themselves. And you know people like this. I know you know people like this, perhaps at your work or your school. And everybody's pulling together to go forward in the same direction. And that one person, you just know they're in it for themselves. And sometimes you and I are just in it for ourselves. But is that a capital offense? Is that something that's going to cause people to stone you? No. Well, perhaps it's because of the 35 people that lost their lives. I mean, sometimes when we sin, it does have negative repercussions. And in this case, Achan sinned by stealing the gold. God pulled back his arms, his hands, his protection on the Israelites. They go into A, and they do this battle that they for sure were going to win, so sure that they only sent a tenth of the army into the battlefield, and they were routed by these Philistines, these people. And 35 lost their lives. And you can bet that the 35 people who, those families of those men that lost their lives, they're probably pretty upset with Achan, aren't they? Because it was because of Achan's sin that their loved one died. Now, this may have never happened to you, but there are times when our sins does cause people to lose something in their life and sometimes even perhaps lose their life. I knew a man once who was driving a car and he fell asleep at the wheel and he crossed over the median and he actually survived, but his wife who was in the car with him died. Think about the pain and the suffering of knowing that you were the one that caused the death of somebody else, or you were the one that caused somebody else to lose something, and how horrible that is. But that, all of our sin, all the bad things that we do in this world, sometimes they do have, oftentimes, they do have negative repercussions. Maybe somebody's not losing their life, but somebody may lose something because of our sin. And we're responsible for that. We're responsible for the sins that we do. Is that what caused him to be executed? No. Because if you look at our text this morning from Joshua 7, verses 11 and 12, it says the reason why. This is God speaking. Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. And verse 12, that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and they run because they've been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. In other words, God said, I'm not going to be with you. I promised, I made a covenant that I would be with you and that I would make you victorious when you came into the promised land. I said that I would be with you in every battle, but there was a requirement. It was a covenant. And when you make a covenant, it's like you are making an agreement with God. He will be our God, but we will be his people. And being his people means that when we go into battle and he says, don't take any of the gold and silver, any of the valuable stuff, goes to God in the Ark of the Covenant. Don't take it for yourself. And you take it for yourself, well, then you violated the covenant. And that is what caused Achan to be killed. He violated God's covenant. Now, I know that sounds like a horrible thing. Violating God's covenant, why is that such a bad thing? It's because God is a holy God. God can't have people following him that aren't obeying him. And the punishment for that is death. And guess what, folks? All of us are guilty of violating God's covenant. All of us do not follow God as we should. We do not do the things that he calls us to do. We get in front of the altar and pretend like we've got heavy offering plates. We do all sorts of stupid things, and sometimes they have repercussions and sometimes they don't have repercussions, but they violate God's law. And because of that, the punishment is death. And every single one of you in this room will someday experience that punishment because of the laws that we've broken. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came into this world to redeem us from that punishment. That all the bad things that we did, the full punishment of God that he wanted to put on us does not come on us. It went on Jesus Christ himself instead. And so on the last day, when the trumpet rises, all the dead shall awake, and those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ will be with him forever. And we will not experience the full power and the wrath of God because Jesus Christ experienced it himself in our place. That's a wonderful thing. That's the good news. You know, I ran into my principal. Believe it or not, he's still alive. He's still playing the organ, still doing the things that he does. And last February, I was in Phoenix for a conference at my old church, and he was there, and I ran into him, and I don't know how we got into the conversation about, because you can't spank today, right? You cannot paddle. What he did to me today probably is off base. No teacher probably can do that today, I'm assuming. Maybe not. I don't know. Be a good thing, I think. But I was talking to him about punishment, and I said, I still can't believe that you paddled me. And he reminded me, well, I gave you a choice. You know, you could have either picked up trash, or I could have told your mom, or you could have taken the paddling. And he looked at me and he said, and I knew you wouldn't tell your mom. And he's absolutely right, because the paddle would have been the precursor to a much, much, much worse punishment that she was very good at doling out, I must admit. And I'm thankful to her, by the way, for doing that, because I was really just a I was a mess. Anyway, but God doles out his punishment on Jesus Christ. We do not take the full weight of the paddling that we deserved. Jesus Christ takes the paddling that we deserve. And we get to live with him forever because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. My life before you.